gosh, I cannot believe that I've been in business for 10 years now. Like, what? I am just blown away and I feel kind of like old, sort of. Not really. Kind of maybe a little bit. but yeah, it made me realize, I was thinking about, like, obviously I think about my business every day, but I was thinking how I literally started my business April 2014. That's when I was like, okay, let me do this thing. And I believe I got my first client for like $150 a month. And that's also when it was focused on like life coaching type of, she was a photographer. She wanted to work with me because she liked my work as a photographer. And it's also where I learned that I did not want to do life coaching despite my training. I wanted to just be like, let's talk about the business. Let's talk about the marketing. So it just makes me laugh that, you know, I was able to have that learning opportunity so quickly, but I didn't actually do anything about that learning opportunity until a few months later. So it's so interesting because our business, our journeys are filled with lessons. They're filled with insights and things that we maybe wouldn't have expected. And I wanted to record this podcast episode to share with you 10 lessons I've learned over my 10 years as a business coach, in case it's valuable for you. So if you are a coach, a course creator, an online service provider, and whether you are new or established or, you know, anywhere in between, I think that hopefully this will be insightful for you and you'll gain a new maybe look at your business so that you can move forward and really feel, you know, good moving forward in general. And obviously there's so many more things I could say. I share a lot of things with like my clients and Evergreen Icon and private clients and stuff like that. But I wanted to distill it into like 10 biggest lessons. So without further ado, if you resonate with what I'm sharing with you, I would love if you subscribed and if you're on iTunes to leave a review. I have not been asking for reviews, so I actually don't really care about that, but I think it'd be nice. I really appreciate you if you take the time. And if you hear my cat in the background, that is just, you know me, that's how it is in my household. But yeah, okay, that's my only ask right now, okay? Thank you. Okay, so let's talk about the 10 lessons from 10 years of business. Number one, revenue isn't always the number one metric to track. And this is interesting because there's actually different parts in business. There's a different like stages that you'll be in business and stuff like that. But what I have learned is that, you know, when we see the sexy thing to talk about is like the revenue numbers, right? How much did you make this month? How much did you make during your launch? How much did you make this year? And, you know, we obviously think about the revenue and, you know, people will like to talk about like, oh, well, profit is more important. And yeah, of course, profit is important. But I do kind of find that in an online course business, in a coaching business, most of the time, like the profits tend to be really good. If your profits aren't very good, like, I don't know, we really need to look at what you're doing because we don't have a lot of overhead. Like, we don't need to spend a lot of money with the exception of like advertising. There's really not a ton of money you need to spend on things. Like, I have a multiple six-figure business per year and I have a very, very, very lean team. I really just rely mainly on automations and systems. I do have a very small team, but like they're contractors. So I don't spend a ton of like money on that. And anytime that I hear someone that's like, you know, they're making $30,000 a month, but they're spending like $20,000, I'm like, what is happening, right? That should not be happening very often. Now, the other obviously thing is like advertising. I am a big fan of advertising. As you know, I've been running paid ads for my clients since like 2016. I do paid ads. I help my clients inside of Evergreen Icon with ads because it's like essential to do the scalable launch model and to do an Evergreen funnel, I think, in order to do it without having to post on social media. But the main thing that I've learned, it's not just a profit. It's not just a revenue. But the metric that you also want to track is like, is the revenue you're making aligned with how you actually want to live your life? Because I will say this, like number one, when you're newer in business, your number one goal needs to be make money. Like, yes, you do need to make money. You need to increase your revenue about 1,000%. And I do believe that you need to focus on revenue, not profit, in the beginning. I do believe that. I would say the first few years of your business, don't even worry about profit. Like, obviously pay yourself, but you need to just increase revenue, because the more revenue you have, the more customers you have, and the more you can like have the validation that you're like moving forward and stuff like that. So I do think that's important. Having said that, once you've been in business for a few years and you've been making a certain level of revenue, there are different things you can do to continue building that revenue that actually aren't going to serve the life that you want to have. And I see a lot of times that we tend to listen to, we get kind of swept up by the messages we see about like people making, you know, multiple seven figures. And we're like, I need to do this too, without really asking ourselves if that's the kind of life I want to live. And that has been like the most important thing for me. So when I look at like my business revenue for the last several years has stayed quite steady. I've sustained my revenue. So if you were to look at it that way, you would think, okay, I'm stuck, right? I haven't really increased my revenue. And revenue has increased a little bit. But what I look at more is that when I first started making that amount of money, I was working like 100-hour work weeks. And I was not very smart with like, I still kind of felt like I was hustling. And obviously 100-hour work weeks, that's pretty much like, yeah, you're hustling. I was very much focused on manual work, manual effort. And I wasn't really happy. I was actually extremely anxious. I was having panic attacks. I was just like really not happy with my business. And over the years, I've focused on building out systems to sustain my income while lowering my work hours and not requiring me to have a team. So creating a more lean business, that does mean, yes, I was focusing on the profit, but more so than that, I was looking at like, how can I work less? How can I be more streamlined? How can I focus on what's working and repeating that? And I was able to go from 100-hour work weeks to like last year, some of the weeks I was working like 5 hours a week. It's nuts. And not a lot of people can say that. And this is the thing that I think it's like, once you've proven to yourself that you know how to make money, you know how to increase your revenue, cool. Don't just chase every single, you know, shiny object, shiny strategy, because there's a lot of ways to make money. Making money is really not that difficult. There's a lot of strategies that work. There's like most of the strategies you're seeing people talk about, they do work. It's just a matter of like, do you want to do them though? Are they going to provide you with the life that you want? Are they going to help you with your strengths, right? Like, for me, I have certain strengths. I'm really good at sales calls, but I really don't like doing sales calls and I don't want to do sales calls. So I designed my business not to require me to be on sales calls. I hate being rejected. I don't like when people say no to me, especially when I can see that like they really would value and like benefit from this, but their fear is getting in the way. Like, yes, of course I can coach them through it, and of course I can overcome objections, but like I just don't want to. And it's like, I would rather not. So I've structured my business to allow me to not do that and still have a really solid income that allows me to save, that allows me to invest in my life, that allows me to, you know, have a lot of free time. And that's been more important to me. So there's going to come a time for you to make that shift and start asking yourself, what do you need to do? Even if it comes at a price of sustaining your current yearly revenue or even lowering your yearly revenue. Number two, customer isn't always right. Now I'm planning on doing a whole video on YouTube about this and other lies that we've been told when it comes to starting a business and having a business. But this is one of those things that, you know, we've always been told, like the customer's always right, the customer's always right. And the truth is that no, they're not. Especially in the business that we have. We have a coaching business, an online-based business. We have a business that is us. Like, you might have a team, sure, that's taking care of your emails, but at the end of the day, like, you're selling things that you've created. You're not just an e-commerce business where you're selling physical products that, you know, they're not like your heart and soul. And I actually believe that it is more important for you to feel grounded, feel safe, feel like you're not you're not going against your boundaries. Like, you have strong boundaries in a way that serve you. I don't really think that, you know, a lot of people have gone a little bit too overboard with the boundaries where they don't even want to talk to their clients. I think that's not really helpful, especially if you're selling one-on-one. But, you know, I think at the same time, we have to be clear on like, what is really important to you and what are you willing to stand for and against? And if a client or a customer comes in requiring you or asking you to do something that you know in your heart you do not want to do, it's not going to be serving you, you don't have to do it. I remember one time I was doing a launch for one of my courses. This is like years ago. And someone wanted to buy my course, but she lived in a different country. I don't remember a country. I think she was like in New Zealand. And she's like, you know, I can't use a credit card. I can't use a debit card. I can't use PayPal. I can send you, you know, a wire. And I'm like, I don't even know how to do that. Like, what? Like, and I tried to make it work with like, with Stripe, you can have people send a wire. So I gave her the information to do it. So it's still going through Stripe because I like to have things kind of in one place. And she just was like, no, I need your information. I'm like, first of all, that sounds like a scam. But second of all, like, I just don't have time for this. Like, no, like there's a way for people that are buying my courses to pay me. And I want it to be streamlined, right? Now, the conversation might be different if I'm working with like a private client and it's a higher ticket thing, like $20,000, $30,000, $50,000. Like, yeah, I mean, wire is great or a check is great because we don't have to pay those. I don't have to pay those processing fees. That's fine. But when you're selling like an online course and it's meant to be like the experience is meant to be automated, like it just doesn't make sense for me to like figure something out that, you know, I was like, I don't even know what I'm like, what? I don't know. I don't have the capacity to figure this out. And then she started cussing me out. She's like, the customer's always right. Have you never heard this? And I'm like, actually, no, because I get to run my business in a way that serves me and works for me. And if how I have it provided doesn't work for you, then you do not have to buy from me. Like, there's so many options out there on the internet. You don't have to buy from me if it doesn't, like, if I'm not providing you an option that you can use, then maybe it's not going to work because I'm going to tell you to create a Stripe account. I'm going to tell you to create a PayPal account. And if you're not able to even use it as a customer, I don't know how you're going to make clients. I don't know how you're going to get sales. Because I don't know another way of doing it. So it's like, you know, so I had to stay grounded and true to me and not bend over backwards for something that like I didn't really think was important or like, you know, yeah, just essential. So that's that. Number three, detachment is key to sustainability. I've noticed a lot of my clients lately complimenting me on how detached I am. And they say it in a, like a positive way, not like detached as in I don't care. Of course, I care a lot. I care about my clients. I love my clients. I love what I'm doing. And at the same time, I have a very healthy level of detachment from mostly about like my results. I approach every single launch, every single funnel, every campaign, every offer I create as an experiment. I approach it from the perspective of this is amazing. I'm so excited and I hope it works out. But like if it doesn't, that's totally fine. And this is something that is not how I started. I did not start with this like grounded confidence, I want to say, when it comes to my offers, because I mean, I was dealing with really severe imposter syndrome and it took me quite a few years to be able to overcome that. And I still deal with it in certain areas of my business too. I think there's always going to be things that we deal with in our business. We're not robots, like, you know, we're not perfect. But at the same time, I've really learned because I've sold so many offers and because I've done so many launches and I've had some incredible launches. I've had launches that are like $260,000 within a few weeks. I've also had launches that totally flopped. And I think the most important thing for me has been to detach my self-worth from my results in business. Like whether I get amazing results or not, I'm still worthy and I'm still a great entrepreneur. I'm still a great business owner. I'm still worthy of having amazing clients, of having success. Whether this offer worked or didn't is kind of irrelevant because it's just one blip on the whole journey of my business. Like I'm not planning on quitting my business tomorrow, even though I made a podcast episode how I was planning on, or I was not planning, but I was thinking and considering quitting my business. This is one of those things that's like, there will be peaks and valleys and sometimes you're like, meh. But yeah, I think when it comes to specifically like creating offers, selling, launching, you know, posting content on social media, like I really don't have like, I don't really feel like, oh my gosh, like if this is successful, then I'm successful. Like I think learned over time to detach that. And that was, if you know my story, in 2016, I burnt out like a lot. And I was working so much. And one of the biggest things was that I really noticed that my entire business was my life. My whole identity was an identity of an entrepreneur. And my self-worth, my self-confidence was extremely connected to my business success. So like anytime that I had a great month, I felt like worthy and good. And anytime that I didn't have a great month, which by the way happens, I felt like something was wrong with me. And like, that is not healthy. That is a toxic codependent relationship that I had with my business. And I see a lot of people doing that right now too. I see a lot of people struggling with that. And the more you can identify that, if that's happening for you, and the more you can start working on it to start detaching and really focusing on the actions you can control, the happier you're going to be. You know, don't focus on the things you can't control. The truth is that yes, you can be amazing at sales. Yes, you can know how exactly to create the program. You can follow my strategies to create your launch. You can follow my strategies to create, you know, your evergreen funnel and all these different things. And they're primed and proven to work. And at the end of the day, you don't know if someone's going to buy because we're talking to people and we cannot control people, right? So it's just a matter of like, you can do the best job that you can. And ultimately, your people, your audience, your ideal clients are going to determine whether your offer is good or not. Like you just don't know because you're one person. So, you know, the sooner you can focus on seeing winning as the actions you're taking, not the results you're getting, the easier it will be for you to then compound and get those results that you want, because it's going to be easy to be sustainable. It's going to be easy to be consistent with the actions you're supposed to take. Number four is to treat your business like a big experiment. So I kind of talked about this already, but anytime I have a new offer, anytime I do anything new, again, it's like, yes, I'm detached, but I also like, I have fun with it. I'm like, let me try this thing. And I'm not really like, this has to work. Like, oh my goodness, what's going to happen if it doesn't work? Like, I'm not really putting a lot of pressure on me, because like, how can you possibly be consistent with your business if you're putting so much freaking pressure on yourself? Like, you know, I just treat it as this like experimentation lab, this like fun thing, like let's try this, let's see how this goes. And I really try to inject like fun into the business, into the launches, into the offers, because that's the only way to freaking be sustainable. Like, let's be totally honest. If you're feeling like your, you know, your business feels like a chore, if your marketing feels like a chore, if creating offers and selling, it all feels bad and like negative, you're not going to do it for long. Like, let's just be honest. So we need to either find a better way for you to sell, or we need to start looking at why you're feeling that way so we can shift it, and we can shift your identity to be of someone who enjoys the process of selling. Otherwise, again, you can, you know, hard knuckle through it for a little bit, but it's probably not going to last very long. And my clients, they want to have a business that lasts a long time. They want to have a business that, you know, creates almost like a, you know, legacy type of life for their family, for their children. Like, they want to have a business that they can rely on. And you're going to need to look at things differently, not as a quick fix type of thing. That is a short-term thing. Lesson number five is repeat what's working over and over again until it doesn't work anymore. And this is the thing, like, you're going to do something that's going to work forever and for a long time, and then it's going to stop. And again, you don't have to feel bad about it. It just is a natural, normal part of what happens. But this is a mistake that I made in the first several years of my business. I kept reinventing the wheel. I keep creating new things. I keep creating, you know, new launches, and kept changing my message. And I just kept doing these new things instead of like, just laser focusing on like, okay, this worked. Let me do the exact same thing, but to new people, and doing that, which is basically what the scalable launch process is. So if you are in the scalable launch program, you know exactly what that launch process looks like. It's so repeatable. It's so sustainable. It's so scalable. It's amazing. And it's exactly how I learned this lesson, because I was consistently doing a new thing every single time because I wasn't growing my audience. And when you're not growing your audience, you kind of have to change your message, because your people are not going to like want to hear the same thing over and over again. It's going to get boring. So you do need to build up your audience and have new people in between every time you do a launch, if it's the same exact message or same exact offer. But yeah, like there's probably a lot of things that you've done or are doing that are working really freaking well. If it's working really freaking well, like why on earth would you change it? Why on earth would you pivot? Like just unless it's feeling out of alignment or something like that, like you're not feeling aligned or in integrity talking about it, then yeah. But if that's not the case, like just because everyone else is creating new offers doesn't mean you have to. Like ultimately you have to look at your overall business strategy. You have to look at like what is your overall plan for the business. And if you don't have that, it's a great opportunity for you to work with someone to help you identify what that is. But you know, the more you can start identifying what's working and doubling down on that, the easier your life is going to be. Speaking of, this is a perfect segue to talk about six, which is sustainable actually often is kind of boring because, and we, you know, we often talk about how we want to have a sustainable business. We want things to be easy and all that kind of stuff. I will say like a side note, things get easier, but they're not necessarily easy because if it was easy, everyone would be doing it and everyone would be a millionaire, right? Like, let's just totally be honest about that. However, we do talk about sustainable. People say that they want a repeatable income. People say they want to have, you know, predictable revenue, predictable income, all that kind of stuff. And I talk about that too. But what they don't realize is that a lot of entrepreneurs, the reason why we got into business is because we are creative people. We like the chaos. We thrive in chaos. The truth is that sustainable business, sustainable income is kind of steady. It's sustainable, right? Like I don't know. It's like you're doing kind of the same thing over and over and it's working and there isn't a lot of chaos. There isn't a lot of fires to put out. It's just calm. And to be honest, a lot of us are very much attached to drama. We're attached to chaos. We want things to be chaotic. And this is why a lot of people end up getting bored. I've heard this from so many clients over the years where they're like, you know, I don't like to talk about the same thing over and over again because it's boring. And it's like, okay, But you're also saying that you want things to be easier. So which is it, right? Because yes, things can feel easy and you can talk about all the things, but it can be even easier if it's repeatable, then you don't have to think about it at all, or you can outsource it. And then you can continue increasing your income by talking about other things. So there's, again, it's like really having a clear understanding of like, if you want sustainability, you have to be okay with healing your desire and demand, a requirement for drama and chaos and, you know, this like stimulation. It's okay for you to express your wanting a variety in different ways. Like you can, you know, post different things on social media or whatever that might be, right? Like there's different ways of satisfying the need for variety and novelty. At the same time, I do truly believe that it is essential for every single business out there, including online businesses, including courses, course creators, you know, coaches. It is important for you to have sustainable base. It is important for you to have monthly recurring revenue. It is important for you to have automations and systems. Without it, your business is going to collapse as soon as something happens. Like if you, God forbid, get sick, or if you go on vacation for 2 weeks, right? Like you can't even do that without having to, you know, with having to continue to work, because your business is going to collapse if it's all relying on you. And that is not a sustainable business. That is not a legacy, right? Like, so we have to be clear on like the things that you say you want. You need to be aware of like what comes along with it so you can be prepared and have a plan for it. Now, if you, by the way, need help with any of this, I do work with some private clients on this stuff. This is something that I don't really talk about it a little bit in Evergreen Icon, but these are the types of conversations we would have in a one-on-one container. You know, really being able to understand what is going on for you and your business. What is going on? Like, how do we create a business that works with your life, and how do we create the right expectations? How do we navigate when things are coming up? Like that sort of environment is so essential when working with a mentor. Like this is basically a perfect kind of scenario to work on with a mentor. And just in case you are looking for one, you can reach out to me and we can talk about it. Okay, number 7, you will hold yourself back in more ways than you realize. Your fear, your doubt, your concerns, including some subliminal, oh my gosh, I can always say this word. Why can't I say it? Subliminal fears and doubts and worries and beliefs will hold you back. Whether in the ways that I've talked about already, like, you know, seeking chaos and seeking drama and not being okay with being bored or letting things be easy, or in just various like concerns that you might have or beliefs that you might have or being triggered by things that are not serving you, right? So like creating an environment of winning is so important. Create an environment of momentum and building momentum is so important. But I honestly believe this is why it's so important to work with a mentor or be in a mastermind where you can be called on your shit. Like you don't even realize how you're holding yourself back. You don't, because if you did, you would overcome it and you would move on. And for a few years there, I didn't work with any mentors or I wasn't in a mastermind. I've joined programs. I always join programs and courses. I freaking love this industry. So like, you know, I don't buy things to serve and, you know, work with the economy, but it's because I really just freaking love learning and I love trying new things. It's kind of, you know, I love doing it. But I haven't actually been supported by a mentor or a coach or been in an actual mastermind in a few years. Last time I think was in 2021. So it was like about 3 years ago. But sorry, I keep trying to get my cat. But you know, I was kind of like, I feel like my ego was actually holding me back. And this is one of those things, like if it's your ego, you're probably not aware it's happening. My ego was really holding me back because I've been in business for like quite a few years and I've been making multiple six figures a year. Like things were kind of working and they were easier and it was great. And my ego was holding me back from seeing like where I was actually holding myself back. And I was getting triggered by people who are more successful in ways, and I was just like making excuse. I don't know. It was just like a whole lot of things. And I didn't start to like truly become aware of what was holding me back and why I was where I was until I hired a mentor. So I'm in a mastermind now. There's a lot of support, a lot of mentorship in that mastermind. I've been in it since January. And it's like so crazy because it's not even like, I mean, yes, a lot of times it is what's being said, but it's being in a container like that. Like I used to kind of like think when people said like, oh, it's the proximity, it's the frequency, it's the like being in a container. I was like, oh my God, like what a like crock of like crap, right? Like that is not true. But now I'm in the mastermind again and I'm like, actually, it is true. It is true because you just act differently when you're in a mastermind like that. When you're paying a lot of money, you're challenged, you're like expanded, you're committed, you're held accountable, you're showing up, like it's just different. And when someone is able to be there and like call you on your crap, when someone is there and they know you and they know what you're doing, they're not just answering questions like in a program or a course where you have a question, they answer it, cool, moving on. But they're able to like reference like, oh, well, weren't you doing this? And like you last time told me this, like it's just a whole other game, a whole other conversation to have someone who like knows you, really knows you, knows what you've been doing, knows what you've said before, and isn't just there to answer questions, but actually coach you and actually provide a different perspective, knowing what you need to hear. That honestly, there's no comparison. And, you know, this is why, like, if you have not worked with a private coach or a private mentor or been in a, like a true mastermind, especially if you've been in a business, in your business for quite a few years, I love being in masterminds, especially really small ones. Like I love it. It's just, yeah, it's great. Anyway, and I probably will do another mastermind. I've had a few people ask me in the last few months about whether I'm going to do another mastermind because I used to run year-long masterminds, very kind of how I described, like very intimate, not necessarily curriculum-based, but just like, yeah, like, you know, small group, very intimate, very high level. I haven't done a mastermind like that in quite a few years, but I am kind of feeling pulled in going in that direction and creating a mastermind soon for more established entrepreneurs at some point. You know, not necessarily based, established, not necessarily based on like income level, but more like that you've been in business for a while and you're like ready to just like stop holding yourself back, like really freaking own it and really up level. Like, yeah. If you're curious by that, like let me know. I don't know when I'll be creating something like that, but probably at some point this year. Potentially. We'll see. So yeah, just let me know if that's something that would speak to you and having that sort of level of support. Okay, moving on. Number 8, you will have to continue reinventing yourself. I thought, and this is kind of an interesting thing because with niching down and stuff like that, like, yeah, you might have a niche for a little while. You will probably end up shifting that niche at some point or expanding that niche at some point because there's different things that happen in the world. Like, there's different things that happen in your industry. And what you say and how you say it right now might not really be relevant in a year from now or 2 years from now, which is why it's like, yeah, we want to have all the systems and we want to have all the automations to make your life easier so that you have the spaciousness and time and energy to focus on like the market trends. So you know if you need to pivot your message to stay relevant. The truth is that you are always going to have to be evolving. You're going to need to be evolving. You're going to need to be creating things in response to what's happening in the marketplace and industry, in what your ideal clients are thinking. And the truth is that your ideal clients are going to think differently at various times because of what's going on. Like, especially, this is even more like apparent now than ever before because of how readily available information has become with TikTok and, you know, YouTube, but mainly TikTok. Like, everyone's just like bombarded with information. So it's just a different way of thinking. It's a different way of consumption that we have. And it's very natural that you're going to want to pivot your message every so often. You're going to want to be aware of what's going on and then expand alongside with it. If you don't, you're going to be left behind. And this is why, like, you know, sometimes when we put so much energy, so much effort and so much work into building an offer and we're so proud of it, and then like a year goes by and you have to pivot it and people feel like, oh my gosh, like I'm frustrated, I'm annoyed, but that's just a part of it. Like, that's just a part of business. You're always going to have to refine. Think about physical products like e-commerce, right? Like, yeah, they can have the same product for a few years, but they're going to have to change it up every so often. They're going to have to change their packaging, you know, to make it fresh again for people. Otherwise, people are going to start ignoring it. Same with like restaurants, right? Like, you're going to want to renovate every so often because it's going to look old after a while and people are not going to feel really into, you know, what it is, right? So that happens in every single industry, including our industry. Number 9 is to diversify your income sources. So there's a lot of conversation out there about like one offer to 1 million, where you just create one offer and you go, you know, ham on that one offer and just sell that one offer until you get to $1 million. And, you know, interestingly, like, I've tried that model, but I really don't actually think that's the best way to go, especially for people that have smaller audiences. Because if you think about it, like, first of all, you're putting a lot of energy and pressure on like one offer performing. And if for whatever reason the messaging changes or the market trends change and all of a sudden you can't sell that one offer as effectively, you're kind of screwed, right? So we don't want you to be in a position like that. We don't want you to, yeah, we just don't want that, right? So for me, what I have found to be, and this is obviously I'm speaking from my personal experience, but I have found that I tend to be the most effective when I have multiple offers. Doesn't mean that I have a lot of offers. I usually have one main offer, like Evergreen Icons, my main offer that I sell. I work with a few private clients. It's not really a main offer, but I have private clients. Sometimes I work and I actually do paid ads for clients as a done for you. That's another kind of stream. I have my membership for Aligned Content Collective. I have Serve to Sell. I have a bunch of other courses. I have now the Scalable Launch Mastermind. And there's different types of offers. And at a certain point, there's going to be like, okay, anything that's live, you probably don't want to do multiple things live. Like, probably doing more than 2 live programs at a time is a little much. But you can create other short-term things. You can create, you know, just different ways of serving people that doesn't even necessarily require your time, that allow you to just serve people at different levels and also allow you to create customers at various pricing levels too. This is one of those things, like, anytime that people say like one offer to 1 million, that you're usually talking about a high ticket offer. And if you've been following me for any length of time, you know that I am not a fan of having one offer, especially if it's a high ticket offer, because you're alienating a massive group of people that are not able, willing to invest in a high ticket offer, or maybe they're not ready. That doesn't mean I don't like high ticket offers, because I do have high ticket offers. Evergreen Icon is a high ticket offer. My private is high ticket. My, you know, done for you services are high ticket. My VIP days are high ticket. So I'm not against high ticket. I am not into having one offer and having that offer be high ticket. However, I think that there's so many other people who could really value your work or just aren't ready to invest when they don't know who you are. You're not ready to invest thousands thousands of dollars if they don't know how you're different. So being able to create additional tiers of offers, additional pricing levels, you know, low ticket, you know, entry level, mid ticket, you know, membership. Like, I really love to have different ways of serving people. That I've been a fan of that. You're going to have to find what works best for you. And for some people, it is having one offer. But ultimately, for me, again, I just like having different things going on. Like, I'll make money from my book. I'll make money from brand deals on YouTube. I'll make money from AdSense, like ad money from YouTube. There's different sources there. Different done-for-you services, one-on-one services, my group programs, my online courses, workshops, low-ticket offers, you know, just a variety of things to make sure that I am not kind of alienating any group of people based on what they're able and willing and ready to pay. And then lastly, there are different phases in business. At some point, you will be in a growth phase. And then the actions you're going to take are going to be aligned with growing. You might have to work more. You might have to try different things. You might need to run more ads. You might need to experiment and, you know, take more risks when you're in a growth phase because you're growing. There will also be the sustain phase. I was in the sustain phase for a very, very long time. The goal was not to try new things. The goal was not to work more. The goal was to work less. The goal was to work less while retaining and sustaining the income that I had. That was the goal, and the actions associated with that goal are different. Refine, that's a different thing again. Being it, like, if things are not feeling super aligned anymore, if things are not feeling like, okay, things are working, things are easy, things are feeling kind of weird or like not fresh, whatever, you're in a season of refinement. You need to figure out what else you need to say, how you need to say it. Maybe you need to rebrand. Maybe you need to overhaul every single offer that you have, your messaging. You need to go through a process of rebirth. That is a different goal that has different actions associated with it. Or maybe you're in a process of scaling. You've grown, things are working. Now you're just trying to make them continue growing while, you know, making things a little bit easier so you're not spending more time. Actions associated with that are going to be different. So you want to identify what stage of business are you in. Or if you're brand new, setting things up, right? Setting things up are different than growing, than scaling, than sustaining, than refining. They're all different. So make sure that when you're taking advice from someone, that the advice you're taking is aligned with the season of business that you're in, the stage of business that you're in. Because again, you're going to be ebbing and flowing from one stage to the next. You're not going to stay in one phase for too long. Sometimes it can last a month. Sometimes it can last a few years. Sometimes it can last, you know, longer. And you just have to be aware of, like, what is the goal? What is the intention? And act accordingly. So that's what I have to say today. quite a bit. I actually have a lot more to say, but I'm going to hold myself back. These are, I would say, some of the lessons. I'm curious to hear if any of these spoke to you. If you heard anything in here that really resonated, send me a message on Instagram. I'm at heartbehindhustle. I'd love to hear what stands out to you, what resonated for you. And if you're here, make sure to subscribe. And if you want to leave a review, I totally appreciate it. All right. Well, thank you so much for listening. And I hope to see you in a future episode. And by the way, check out my YouTube channel because I am back. I'm trying to do a bi-weekly video. So if you're into videos, that's the place to find me. All right. Have an amazing rest of your day.